Good morning. It's Tuesday, July the 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's Tuesday, gang, and you know what that means. Yes, tacos. So set that before you as a reward for a day of sowing the love of God into the hearts of people. Well, let's begin this day that's ahead of us with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, On the Difference Between Knowledge and Knowing, and the Problem of Zeal. Our text is Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Let's begin today by rewinding the tape on Paul's address to the angry mob of Jewish men, whom he addressed as fathers and brothers. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. That's Acts 22, verses 3 through 5. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. It should scare us to see how the goodness of God-given faith can devolve into the evil of satanic-inspired zeal for God. Here's what Paul did before his conversion and what his attackers are doing in the presence, any different from radical Islamic zealots killing Christians today. Both are examples of religious terrorism. Islamic terrorists demonstrate great zeal for God as they understand God. Paul and his former compatriots demonstrated great zeal for God as they understood God. In both examples, they acted with religious conviction and had no sense they were doing anything wrong. In fact, religious terrorists almost universally do their deeds out of a sense of deep devotion and obedience to God, as they understand God. Unfortunately, history is littered with so-called Christians who are guilty of the same kind of religious terrorism. Jesus himself warned of such things in the days before his crucifixion. "All this I have told you so that you will not fall away," he said. "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me." That's John 16:1-3. Zeal can be very good. Paul instructs the Romans to, quote, "never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." That's Romans 12:11. Zeal can be very bad. Earlier in the same letter, Paul said this, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." That's Romans 10:1-2. The difference comes in knowing God as God truly is. Jesus said it clearly, "They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me." There is knowledge and there is knowing. Knowledge of or about God and knowing God. Paul probably had more knowledge about God than 99% of the Jews of his time, and he was a very dangerous man. He is testifying to the angry mob about how his knowledge was overcome by knowing. This became the focus of Paul's ministry of prayer. Hear this prayer of his in the Ephesian letter. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's Ephesians 3:17-19. There it is. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. That's Paul's testimony. This is conversion, the journey from knowledge to knowing. It makes all the difference in the world. Are you making progress on this journey? The secret to progress comes in the prayer just prior to the one above. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. I know this comes as you form your very life within my own sense of personhood, by your Spirit. In that way, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. I receive your knowing of the Father, and release my quest to attain more knowledge of God. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father, amen. The journal prompts. To what extent has and is your knowledge about God being translated to a real experience of actually knowing God? How about trying to put it into a percentage? As an example, I would say I'm about 60% knowledge and 40% knowing at this point of the journey. How would you describe your present state? And for our hymn today, we're going to sing a more recently written hymn. This is number 125. It's in our hymnal. Knowing You is the name of the hymn. It's by Graham Kendrick. And it is one of my favorites. Knowing You, three verses and a profound chorus. We'll sing it all together. 125, Knowing You. It says exactly what I believe, I'm trying to say in today's entry. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all, You're the best, You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love You, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know You more, to be found in You and known as Yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all-surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all, You're the best, You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love You, Lord. Oh, to know the power of Your risen life and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. Doesn't that just say it? That's Philippians 3. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and to share in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. That's Paul's manifesto and ours. You know, I was just reading, I read every day, Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest. He's one of the most influential writers, I'd say, in my faith outside of Scripture. And for, I don't know, 25 years, maybe 30, I've been reading that little book, My Utmost for His Highest, which I could not more highly recommend. It's a daily book. And just today I was reading, it says, the only one who truly loves the Lord Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and it is he who has poured out in our hearts the very love of God, Romans 5:5. Whenever the Holy Spirit sees an opportunity to glorify Jesus through you, he will take your entire being and set you ablaze with glowing devotion to Jesus Christ. Kind of reminded me of that great word between Abbot Lot and Abbot Joseph, the Desert Fathers, when one asked the other one, why not be completely changed into fire? You see, there's only one way to make Jesus known in the world, and it's not zealous striving and effort. It's knowing him. As we truly know him, he makes himself known to others in and through us. It's like we become almost like a mirror, or a refracting, reflecting mirror. And his light shines. That's what it means to say Christ will shine on you, and then he shines in you, and then he shines through you. But it comes out of that deep, bonded relationship, ever growing in knowing him. And that's a lifelong journey. And oftentimes, I mean, it can feel like, golly, are we making any progress? I was talking to some farmers the other day. I said, have you ever seen anything grow? Have you ever actually seen it grow? Have you ever watched something grow? And they're like, no. That's their job, growing crops. And yet they're always seeing growth. And sometimes it's good to just get us a remembrance of, like, who we used to be, what we used to struggle with. And sometimes we're still struggling with those things, but I promise you, you're struggling with them at a different level than before. And sometimes, oftentimes, you become set free from those things. It's good to keep perspective. We're not who we used to be, and we're not yet who we're going to be. But right now, all we have to do is give ourselves to Him and seek to know Him and to be known by Him. He's doing the work, not our zealous, energetic, striving efforts. No, this is His work. We got to close out our time together this morning. We got to hit the fields today. This is the seed we sow without even trying as we move about just in union, as Dan Wilt would say, in knowing, in love with Jesus. I'll see you on the field and maybe for some tacos later. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.